You're listening to a teaching program by Rise on Fire Ministries. For more teachings just like this one, visit riseonfire.com.
The title of this teaching is, Where Are the Prophets? Prophetic Call by P.D. Ponder Westheiser with Rise on Fire Ministries.
Where are the prophets today? Many people are in the camp of, I don't think there are. I think that was an Old Testament thing. We have the Bible now. That's surely enough. Why would we need a prophet to instruct us? That sounds fair. And there are other people on the other side of it who are all about prophecies. And as many of you know, in the last year and the year before that, there were many prophets who prophesied a whole lot of things about what would happen in the world that absolutely never came true. And when we are faced with this, it's easy, I'll be honest, right? It's easy to be like, well, I don't want anything to do with those people. I don't want anything to do with that crowd. How embarrassing, right? Those are the things that we face. But biblically speaking, though, is this something that we can just push aside? Is the role of a prophet, the gift of prophecy, something that has been extinguished by the Spirit of God? Or is it something that He wants to flame? I want to submit to you that it's important if it's important, because then God deems it important and we need to look at it. But if it's not, then it's not, and that's fine. But what does the Bible say? You know, when we're in our series of the Acts series, which we've been going through the past few weeks now, I just came across Acts chapter 11. And in here, I come across something interesting. I see a prophet prophesying. We don't really know much about this prophet. His name is Agabus, but he's prophesying something to the early church. And it says in Acts 11, verse 27, Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Prophets. Various prophets. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So we see, this is not Old Testament, right? This is not your Torah. Like, this is not like Isaiah or Ezekiel or one of the old prophets. This is someone in the first century filled with the Spirit of God. And it actually said there were many prophets, but this one stood up and prophesied that there would come a famine. And as he prophesied this, it came true. And then eventually they were able to prepare for it, send charity to look after the people struck by this famine. Let me tell you a little bit, brothers and sisters. I myself, when I was meditating on these scriptures, I thought back on my life, and I just in a few minutes of thinking could come across at least four prophecies that I was personally given on my life, that were given to me by true prophets of God. And these people were not what you think of when you think of when I say prophets of God. These were people who were Spirit-filled, who loved God. But when I looked at them, it wouldn't be like, whoa, they're a prophet, like holy ground, guys. No, it's not like, you know, there are many people who are perceived as, sometimes, you know, when we think about a prophet, we're perceiving it as this person who's like all this, right? But these were believers who loved God. They were meek, they were humble, they were not putting themselves forward as something. And look, I'm not saying that there aren't people who are prophets who God is putting on a platform. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. I'm not saying that God can't do that. But what I'm saying is, in the examples that I'm talking about with personal prophecies, a lot of these weren't people that had a platform. A lot of these were ordinary people. One of them, I'm not going to go into too much detail because they are personal prophecies, but I will, for the sake of your edification, just speak, kind of give you an overview. You know, one of them was a lady who came to me at a prayer meeting. And in my early days, before I ever thought about going into ministry, I was a student at university studying to be something else. She came to me and she started speaking in tongues. Looked at me speaking in tongues, and she started prophesying, and she said, I call you into full-time ministry, speaking from the Lord's perspective. And this shook me, and I couldn't believe it. I actually was like, I don't know if she's a prophet, because I don't know if that'll ever come true. A few years later, it did come true. And then I look back on the prophecy, and I'm like, God, at that time, you know, I didn't know if it was true or not, but now I do know it was, and now it's a confirmation that you were speaking. There were other cases, at least three other cases, that I'm not going to go into detail, where people came to me at either a prayer event, the other one was on the streets while I was praying for someone doing ministry. I was just praying for a stranger, and then someone else came up to me who doesn't know me, spoke a prophecy over me, and it came true to the T. There was another person at a worship event I was at, worshiping God, and I had a lot of distraughtness in my heart over many things. This person came to me and spoke everything into alignment, said, this is what God has seen. I saw you in a dream earlier in this week. God said this over your life, and I don't know you, but I just felt like I needed to tell you because I recognized you from my dream earlier this week. This was a stranger I've never known before. I've never met before. She came to me in the midst of a crowd of over 3,000 people. She walked up to me. And that was a place where it shifted the direction of my life. Okay, so my point is just here that there are prophecies active and alive today, prophets, people who are given words for others, active and alive today. But then you can tell me, well, PD, I don't see any of that. Where are these true things happening? I only see the fake stuff. And look, there is, I'll submit to you, there's probably on the stages of America more. And when I'm talking about the stages of America, I'm talking about the prophecies you hear about. The ones on YouTube, the ones on, not all of them, but I want to submit to you that many of them, as it turns out, they aren't true prophets, because their prophecies do not come true. The opposite often happens. But that doesn't mean that there aren't true works of God and true words of God being spoken through people. I want to submit to you that you will find more prophecies that are true and of the Lord as you find more people who are spirit-filled. If you're in circles of people who do not believe in the gift of prophecy, that it shouldn't be exercised, who do not desire the gift, you will not see prophecies happening. You will not see movings of the prophetic. If you are not in the midst of fellowship, in other words, if you listen to me as I describe some of my examples, I was either busy praying for people, or I was at a prayer event worshiping God, or praying to God, or at a house meeting was the other one. I was always involved with the Lord's business, and it was in those meetings and places where the Lord met me and spoke to me. If you are not busy with the Lord's business in these places, you will seldomly find someone just randomly coming up to you. It is in the midst of our fellowship, as we are supposed to be a body of believers working together in unity with one another, and spirit-filled, seeking Him and His gifts, it is in those places that we see these gifts being exercised and edifying the body. That's where you will find edification as well. And so one of the reasons you may have never experienced it is because you may have never been in circles or around people who have the gift and who are pressing into the Lord intimately, more deeply than most American Christians do. And that brings me to my second point, and it is simply that there are not a lot of people who truly exercise the gift prophetically, truly, because intimacy with God in America is not up to a standard where that is really possible. And what I mean by that is, there are people in America, don't get me wrong, there are people in America who are spirit-filled on fire and have a strong, intimate relationship with God, but that is the exception, not the rule. Most people who are Christians in America do not have the intimacy with God required to be able to get a word of prophecy. And you're like, whoa, no, this is easy to get to because most Christians in America don't pray more than 10 minutes a day. And I don't even know if 10 minutes, I think 10 minutes is already a lot for many people. And when I say praying, I'm talking about going into your prayer closet on your knees, being intentional before the Lord and getting there and getting with Him. If you do not speak to Him, do not expect to hear from Him. I mean, He can speak and He does. But if you want to be immersed in His Word to the point where He is speaking through you prophetically, you need a level of being filled with the Spirit, and you need to be in His presence enough so that you are immersed in Him. And if you are not, then, and you're not amongst people who are, then we can't be shocked that the prophecies don't happen. And you'll look to me and say, well, Peter, I don't see that, so it can't be true. Brothers and sisters, if we all sought God more, we would see these things happen more. We see in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. It's almost like He knew that there would be people who quench the Spirit and despise prophecy. And that's exactly what has happened in much of American Christianity, right? Is a lot of this quenching of the Spirit, the despising of anything prophetic. Look, it's fine to be like, we tested it, it's not true, let's move on. That's good. Because He says, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. So you need to test every word. And that's how we know it's from the Lord, right? But if you test the word, it doesn't come true, and you're like, ah, all this prophetic stuff is just from the devil. You're despising prophecy. So there's a balance that needs to be exercised here of testing and loving the Lord's work in believers and His ability to speak through believers. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 14:29. Paul instructs regarding prophecy, and he says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. You see, Paul is writing on the assumption that there are more than one prophet in a church. Can you imagine that? Like, you know, today we think of it as a rare thing. Paul was speaking as if there is like more than one prophet like in a church. Because he's saying, let two or three prophets speak. Okay. A few prophets are speaking, and it says, let the other prophets weigh what is being said. Because the prophets are subject to the prophets. But see, if you don't have prophets, how can you weigh what the other prophets are saying? You know what this is doing to me, my sisters, in my heart? This is so alarming. It's so alarming, and it breaks my heart because it means that there's something so wrong. There's something so missing, because when we see, consider this a rarity, but Paul considered this a common practice, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It's not okay. Like, it means there's something wrong in our spiritual lives in the church for there to not be where prophets aren't being produced in the body. It means that there's either it's because prophets are being despised, which is one thing, to the point where no one wants to deal with that because they're so despised. The other thing is that no one has the intimacy. Few people, let me be more correct in saying, few people have the intimacy with God required to be used so powerfully. I don't know what it is, but I want to say we need to start seeking the Lord on this thing, because this is not okay. This is not okay. When we look at another example, Acts 21 verse 9, we read about Philip's daughters, and we read, he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Four of his daughters prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Okay? So Paul is staying with Philip. He's got four daughters prophesying. And as if that's enough, now there's another prophet, that guy called Agabus. He comes down from Judea and he prophesies. And he says, He takes Paul's belt, bound his feet and hands, and said, "Thus is the Holy Spirit. This is how the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the man who owns his belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." See, Agabus was prophesying this, and his prophecy, his word, was subject to Philip's four unmarried daughters who also prophesied. That's why it was mentioned that there were so many prophets in the house. That's why Paul could so quickly find comfort in that this word is from the Lord. Because test everything. It is important to test words. But then when you have more than one prophet in the room, guess what? The other prophets can be like, "My spirit bears witness. My spirit bears witness. The Lord is confirming this in my heart. This is true, Paul. Watch out." This is what was happening. You see, brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you that there's a few reasons that false prophecies have been occurring on such a grand scale in the last few years. One of them is simply that people are prophesying from their fleshly biases. And this is a thing not of, I don't think these are people who are necessarily always wolves in sheep's clothing trying to mislead people. But they are trying to please the ears of people, telling people what they want to hear. And this is the people who oftentimes will always say, "Things will be well, things will be well, don't worry." And they are saying it to people who ought to be worrying. And what I mean by that is, look, there's nothing wrong with a prophecy that is a prophecy of coming blessing. There are prophecies of judgment. There are prophecies of coming blessing, prophecies of open doors, prophecies of all sorts. But when there is prophecies given to a people who are deeply entrenched in sin, and who has judgment coming their way, and you don't even need to be a prophet to see that, yet a prophet, quote-unquote, comes and tells them that they're going to be blessed, well, we always have to wait and see, but there's a good chance that they're just telling them that because they're telling them to tickle their ears, because it's what's popular. It's very popular to say, you know, yes, we have all of these horrible things happening, but it's all going to be all right, guys, don't worry. And yes, I know we all have a lot of sin, all that, but, you know, it's all going to be all right, don't worry. It's very popular to say that. All people want to hear that. And so that temptation, this is a bias. To be a prophet, what has to happen is you need to, despite your fleshly desires and biases, despite what you want to happen, despite what you need to be spiritually neutral. You need to be so neutral that God can speak through you even the things you don't want to say and hear. And that's what it takes. Do you really think that when Agabus came down and prophesied to Paul that he's going to get persecuted deeply if he goes down to Jerusalem? Probably didn't want to do that, but he had to because that's what the Lord spoke to him. You see, when Jesus was on the way to his crucifixion, he says, "Father, if this cup can pass from me, please let it pass." Right? He is praying from that place, but he says, "But Lord, if this is your will, let it be done." So he is offering himself up as an offering to do God's will, even if it's against his own desires. No man wants to die, and he didn't want to die either. But yet he still said, "But Lord, if this is your will, your desire, your voice, I will do it." That is what God calls every man who desires to prophesy to. I want to read to you an example of this type of false prophecy in Jeremiah 23:14. Jeremiah the prophet spoke about them and he said, "But in the prophets of Jerusalem I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. All of them have become like Sodom to me and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and give them poison water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Who has paid attention to his word and listened? Who is there to actually stand in the counsel of the Lord and proclaim that word, is what Jeremiah says. Instead, they say, vain hopes, visions of their own minds, it shall be well with you, things of that nature. You see, brothers and sisters, here's the thing though. Don't take my words and say that I'm saying that every prophet who says that if something goes well with you, that's a false prophet. That's not what this is saying. But he is saying that when there is preaching to people, for example here, where ungodliness has gone out in all the land, when these people are committing adultery and walking in lies, that's the context of all of this. But yet there is no rebuke. Right, that's how can that be a true prophet? Brothers and sisters, we are living in a time, a day, an age where I want to submit to you many people are forbidding prophecy. Many people do not want there to be prophets, but I want to submit to you that's not the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is coming forward and He is saying, where are my prophets? Where are my people who I want to meet in their prayer closets, who I want to immerse with my Holy Spirit, drench them with my Holy Spirit? Where are my people, my prophets, who has ears to hear my voice so that they can proclaim my voice to the people of God so that they can be edified, so that they can understand my direction? Where are the prophets that I am calling, says the Lord? I want to submit to you, brothers and sisters, God is calling these people out of their distractions. There are people who are called to be prophets, but they are distracted in the world. They are distracted by the world's doings, and it is okay. It is good right now that they're not prophesying, because if they do, they would prophesy their own fleshly biases and desires. But if you listen to me, if you are that man at the sound of my voice and the heart is pricking you, come out of your distractions, get with the Lord, spend real time with Him. You have an hour a day to spend on Facebook. You should at least have an hour a day to spend in your prayer closet then. Don't tell me that you have an hour to spend looking at a screen, scrolling your life away, but you don't have an hour to spend on your knees before the Lord of hosts. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord has been putting in my heart something really, really heavy this past week. He has encountered me so heavily with this thing that He is coming and He is calling us to a deeper place than ever before. And there is some storm coming and you need to be on board. We have been sleeping and the Lord is waking us up and He is saying, you need to be awakened to the voice of my Spirit because I want to speak through you. I want to use you. I want to be using you powerfully like I used the people in the book of Acts. Will you be used or will you let this pass you by? See, brothers and sisters, there's a storm coming and you're going to either be an observer and not a partaker, or you're going to be a partaker of this thing. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be on the sidelines looking but never being a part of it as it passes you by and as you lose the opportunity? And here's the thing, what the Lord has been speaking to my heart is that He is going to be taking the lampstands from people. You see, in the book of Revelation, he talks to a church and he says, look, you have hated what is evil. You've loved what is good. I love that about you, but I have this against you. You have lost your first love, and I will remove your lampstand from you if you do not repent. The Lord is speaking, if you do not repent of your distraction, if you do not return to your first love, how you loved Him at first, you have lost your fire. You have lost what was kindled in you in the beginning. And if you do not return to the Lord, He will remove that lampstand from you and He will give it to someone else, and you will lose and miss the opportunity that He has entrusted to you. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord gave prophecies to me and callings on my life, and He's giving prophecies and He's going to give callings on your life, and He has callings on your life, but it is up to you. If you can have prophecies about all the callings in your life, you can have all the words of what the Lord wants to do through you, but if you are sleeping and if you have lost your first love, those callings will pass you by as your lampstand is removed from you. who will you be? Subscribe to this channel, brothers and sisters, for more just like this. Like and share this video. I believe that this is a message for the body that needs to be heard. Share this on your Facebook wall. Share it on your Twitter feed. Share it wherever you can for the people to be awakened to what God is desiring in this time.
This was a teaching by Rise on Fire Ministries. If this teaching has blessed you, consider supporting the ministry by partnering with us to reach the nations with the gospel. You can partner by visiting riseonfire.com. Blessings and shalom. You're listening to a teaching program by Rise on Fire Ministries. For more teachings just like this one, visit riseonfire.com.
The title of this teaching is Satan's Plans Exposed 2022 Rise Up by P.D. Founder Westheiser with Rise on Fire Ministries.
In today's video, we're going to really be talking about how we are entering this new year of 2022 and really about, I want to bring awareness to really the enemy's schemes in this time and in this season. What I believe that he is, on what fronts, if you will, he is attacking God's people on, and how we should be aware of these fronts so that we can be looking out for them and be ready to fight. The Bible tells us that we are not just fighting a battle of flesh and blood, but a battle that has principalities and dark rulers behind it, Satan, demons. And there are strategies and plans in the enemy's kingdom. And there are strategies and there are plans in God's kingdom. There is a storm coming. Times are getting worse. Times are getting more difficult as time goes on. That's how it is going to be. But as the enemy tries to ramp up his attacks on God's people, at the same time, God has a storm coming. God has a remnant that he is raising to worship him in spirit and truth, just like Yeshua did, in a way that would bring terror upon the enemy's camp. So I just want to let you guys know, if you're in the chat, I see some of you saying hello. Please say hi. Shalom to all of you. I'm going to be keeping an eye on the chat, and this is going to be a session of deliverance. I believe that there are people who are going to be watching this today who God is going to bring freedom in, where the enemy has tried to keep them in bond, kept them in bondage. And the enemy has been trying to keep God's people from living out the callings that God has placed on their lives. So, first off, I want to bring up something that the Father's really been putting in my heart. And that is that I believe God's people have been sleeping. They have been in a slumber. And it's not that they are not trying their best to be righteous. It's not that they don't hate what is evil. But they have been sleeping even whilst doing so. You see, and this reminds me of a church in the book of Revelation that Jesus himself, that Yeshua talked about. He talked about this church that he says in Revelation 2 verse 4, verse 2, you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. So he's talking about a people who has discernment, but yet he says this, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Remember from where you have fallen, he says. He says, look back to your past. Look back to when you first came to Christ. Look back to the fiery passion within you. Look back to the love you had for God. Look back to the love you had to see people come and meet him just the way you did. You had a simple, pure love that was not, you did not know a lot. You did not have a lot of knowledge. You had a lot to learn still, but you had a simple love for God, and you just wanted God's people to experience Him. And God is saying, that is where you were, and you have actually fallen from there. You see, we think, oh, we grow in knowledge. We learn more new things. You know, we've done so many Bible studies since that way back when we became a believer. So we feel like we've matured. But God says, for many of us, it's actually that we have fallen from where we were. We have lost ground with the enemy because we have allowed him to pacify us from where we were. We were on fire. Even though we didn't have it all figured out, we were on fire. But then the enemy came and he pacified us into this place where, yeah, we have a lot of knowledge. And I love knowledge. Knowledge is powerful. But knowledge puffs up and pride becomes so incompatible with the Spirit of God. And so, brothers and sisters, my question to you today is, if tonight was your night, if tonight was the night that was your last, the night that you would pass away in your sleep, and God forbid, but that's the reality. Millions of people will be dying tonight around the world. And if you would be that person and you would stand before God, what will the reality of your life opened up before Him be? Will you feel regret? Will you feel, man, I blew it. I had the knowledge, and what did I do with it? Or will you feel like, wow, God has come to me. He has approached me. He has shown me His Spirit. He's shown me His truth. He's shown me all the gifts that many people didn't see. And yet, Lord, I did everything I could with it. I ran. I proclaimed it. I showed the world Your love because You, Lord, were my first love. You've always been my love, and I've never lost sight of You. Have you lost sight of the Lord in the midst of this world? Okay, listen. The enemy is going to hate me for this because I'm about to open up something that I believe is really going to be his tactics in this year for us. And if you're going to listen to what I'm about to say, you're going to experience freedom and a place of relationship and intimacy with the Lord that you haven't experienced in a long time. If you feel like I need to get back to what Petey's talking about, listen to me. What the enemy is after is three things in people today. Okay, number one, he wants to steal your time. Number two, he wants to steal your prayer. And number three, he wants to steal your energy. Now, you like PD, you're over-spiritualizing these things. Look, Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is not just our flesh. Our flesh is an issue, but it's not just your flesh that you are fighting. The enemy is working and he is trying to influence your flesh to get you away from God. Now, I said that he is out to steal your time. What I mean by that is Satan has commissioned demons to come to you and distract you. The enemy has come and he has tried to get you to take your eyes off the Lord. But the way that he could do that is by keep putting your eyes on something else. Distraction is a type of witchcraft. Now let me just explain what I'm saying here. Okay, when we think about the book of Acts, we think about Samaria. Philip comes to Samaria and he's about to proclaim the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to these people. And what happens? Satan sees Philip is about to do this. And Philip is about to cast out demons. Philip is about to wreck the enemy's kingdom. And what does Satan do? Have you ever heard about this guy? His name was Simon the Sorcerer. Simon the Sorcerer, it says, let me read this to you. Acts 8 verse 9. There was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was someone great. Now get this. They all paid attention to him, from the least of the people to the greatest of the people, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. Everyone from the rich to the poor were paying attention to Simon the sorcerer by the magic that he was performing. Why? What was the purpose of this? Satan was trying to distract people away from what Philip was about to do. That was what he tried to do. But when Philip showed up, he showed up in power. He showed up in signs, in wonders. He casted out demons. He healed sick people. And he stole the spotlight from Simon the sorcerer. But yet, let's not be ignorant of the enemy's schemes to try and distract us. And it may not look like this. It may not be someone who's doing magic. It can be as simple as the magic you watch on TV all day. It can be as simple as the fact that we tell the world, oh, entertain us, entertain us. And we spend hours upon hours in the world's things. Hours scrolling through Facebook our life away. Hours on TikTok. Hours on Reddit. Hours watching movies. Hours. And then we get to the end of our day and we don't have minutes for God. We don't have minutes for God anymore. Because all our time went somewhere else. And the enemy's witchcraft has taken a hold of us. And so, brothers and sisters, you say, I want to be on fire for the Lord. I want to be used by God. Well, it's time to stop allowing the enemy to steal your time from you. You say, okay, let me move on to the next point here for a sec. The second part is that he's trying to steal our prayers. Now, it's not that when we pray, the enemy comes and he takes it in that way. It's not what I mean. It's rather that when we are, it's rather that we don't get to that place of prayer. We tell ourselves, you know, I read my Bible today. I went to my Bible study. I went to my church service on Sunday or whatever day of the week you do, Saturday. And we say, oh, I've done that check box complete. I've spent my time with the Lord. And it's great, right? All the fellowship, Bible study, golden, amazing, praise God. But it should not be at the cost of prayer. It's not that our prayer should suffer. Because sometimes we value growing. We think growth comes in the form of reading more Bible and gaining more knowledge about the Word and the secrets and mysteries of God. Praise God. I love His mysteries. But maturity does not just come in knowledge. There are people who are PhDs in the Bible, but yet are atheists who do not have any prayer life. The fact of the matter is that maturity, if you look at Yeshua's life, he grew in maturity not just by doing studies of the Torah. He gained maturity by being in the Garden of Gethsemane praying all night long. He was in maturity by going into the wilderness as the Spirit of God led him there to be tempted by the devil, and he spent time there in prayer and fastings. And when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon, he didn't tell them to read more Bible to get more maturity so that they can cast out the demon. Come on, listen to me. He didn't tell them to just read more Bible so they can cast out the demon. He told them to fast and pray. To fast and pray. As we fast and as we pray, we grow in the Spirit more. We grow into maturity. But if all our time is synced into other places, and if we forsake our prayer life, we allow the enemy to steal that from us, we will struggle to actually mature. The greatest danger with this is that we think we are mature because of how much we know, but we're actually babies in the faith still. Because our prayer life is almost non-existent. You see, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, if you were to read a book on how to be the best husband, how to be the best wife, that'd be good, right? That'd be great. I mean, that's a good endeavor. I want to love my wife more. You know, we want to love our husbands more, etc., etc. But What if you had all that knowledge, yet you never actually spent time with them? It would be like knowing all of the Bible, yet never spending time with God. What is it? Isn't it that your wife or your husband sees your love for them when you make time for them, when you think about them, when you make an offering of time? You see, brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you that God is out and He's searching for a new type of offering from us this year. Not just an offering of, say, just finance, or an offering of servitude, or offering of, but an offering of our time. Now, you know, many people, they struggle to pray. They're like, you know, I struggle to pray. It's hard. What do I do? I get there. I don't know what to tell God. What if I told you that sometimes God simply desires of us to get in His presence, right? Just to be in His presence. What if it's sometimes just about being there, not to ask Him for something? And that's great. You can ask Him things. He loves to hear that. But what if sometimes He desires us to just be there? To just be still and know that He is God. To come into His presence, to say, Lord, I am here. I'm not going to ask of you anything tonight. I'm not here to get something out of this deal. I am here because, Lord, I just want to be with you. Just want to spend time with you in your presence. I am offering my time. There are many types of sacrifices, but I want to submit to you that this is the sacrifice that the Lord needs from us in this time. And it's not that He needs it because He is God, but it is that He wants to use us, but He needs us to dwell in His presence for us to be able to be filled and immersed with the Spirit of God. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, get in Father's presence so that you can be immersed in His Spirit. You know, if there's one thing I want to drown in, and that is His Spirit. I want to be so full of His Spirit that it is more valuable than air itself to me. That is where God desires us to be, so that our mouths, our instruments, our hands, our instruments, our feet, everything in us becomes an instrument of the living God, so that we walk by the Spirit, and when people see us, they say, what is it about this man or woman that they burn so strongly with the Spirit of God, and they don't burn out? Oh, come on. Praise God. So, brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you, where is your time? Where is your prayers? Where is it all being placed? Where is it? And if you feel like, Petey, I get what you're saying. I want this, but I just don't feel the hunger. I just don't feel the hunger to be like that about God, the way you are. And I don't consider myself of anything, but I want to tell you this, is that if you don't feel hungry for the Lord, the way you get hungry for the Lord is by fasting of the food of this world. Go on a fast, stop eating and of the things of this world, whether it's actual food, whether it's all the movies or all the stuff, whatever of the world it is that you've been so immersed in. You see, you've been so satisfied, because it's like the Samaritan woman who came to the well every day, right? Every day coming to that well to get the water, and she thought that's what satisfies her. Yeshua tells her, if you will come here for the rest of your life and you will never get totally satisfied. But if you drink of me, of the living waters, you will become satisfied and a well of living waters yourself. And that was so revelatory for her that she forgot her water jar at that well. She forgot it there because she had such a filling with Yeshua. And that's what I want to submit to you, brothers and sisters. You need to leave your water jar. You need to leave that thing behind that you've been holding on to. And you need to say, God, I am leaving this stuff thing of the world, even if it's an innocent thing, but it's been stealing time. And God, I'm leaving that, and I'm saying, Lord, I want you. I want you. I want you. The last part of what the enemy is trying to steal from us is our energy. Now, This is in many forms. The one is he's trying to steal our sleep. Okay? It comes in forms of having nightmares, terrors of the night. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's in the form of worries. You are so filled with worry of this world that you cannot sleep, get comfort. Maybe it's simply your flesh. Maybe it's just that you're not going to bed at the times that you should be going to bed. You don't take your time aside and make a decision that I am going to go to bed at a good time so that I can be used by God, so that I am not idle and lacking energy. So there are many things that this could be. It could even be sickness. There are some of you that have been struck with a sickness that have been stealing your energy from you. And tonight, we're going to be talking about some of these things in terms of prayer. I'm going to be praying right now. Listen, if this is you, if I've been speaking about some things so far that have that the Holy Spirit in you is like, this is you. This is you. This is the bondage that you have in your life. Look, man, this is not about pointing fingers, but when we see we have bondage, we need to give it to the Lord. And so right now, I'm going to pray right now for all of these things, for everyone in the chat and everyone listening live today. And if that's you in the chat, if you feel bold, I want you to come to the altar of this live stream. Come to the chat here and write, this is me. This is me. This is the altar that you are running for to tonight, virtually. And you're going to say this to the Lord. This is me, God. And so right now, Father, we speak right now to everyone listening. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your power. I thank you, God, for the freedom and exposing the lies of the enemy. And so, God, right now, Lord, we speak to time, how the enemies try to steal time. God, we say right now, we devote a new season of time to you. We desire to make an offering of time. And God, right now I speak to all the distractions and the witchcrafts of the enemy on everyone listening to this broadcast right now. And right now we speak to any demon of distraction, any demon of idleness, every unclean spirit of infirmity. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, at the sound of my voice, I command you to go off of God's people now. I command you to leave in the name of Yeshua right now. I speak right now to any unclean spirit that has brought night terrors upon the people of God. And I command you to go in the name of Yeshua. Every unclean spirit, every demon of fear that have tried to invoke fear in children, in the households I'm speaking to now, we speak right now to that spirit. We command you to get out of that household. Get out in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you, Lord, right now, Lord. We speak to every spirit of worry, every spirit of fear of this world, everyone who's listening who has worries of the world. I just feel the Father is saying that you are dwelling in unbelief if you don't believe that I can take care of the things that you think I can't take care of. And you need to believe me and put your burdens unto me. Yeshua said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Lay your burdens upon me. My yoke is light. Put your burdens right now by the Lord's feet. Father, we speak right now to every spirit of lies that have lied about these circumstances and lied about that the Lord is not powerful enough. We speak to every spirit of fear right now and everyone listening. We command that to leave in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you, Lord, right now for every unclean spirit of sorcery, of witchcraft, of demonic abuse, of dabbling of Kundalini spirits right now at the sound of my voice, and we command those spirits to come out in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you, Lord, for complete freedom, Lord, right now, from everyone who is listening to this right now. Father, I just thank you. So, brothers and sisters, I feel like the Father is calling us into a place of fasting and prayer. Fasting. If you haven't fasted this year, this is the time to start. This is the time to begin. put aside what day, set that aside. Don't eat. You don't need to wait for the Day of Atonement to fast. We need to live a lifestyle of fasting. All right, I want to also submit to you one more thing about bondage right now that where people are struggling in. When Israel came out of Egypt, this is just crazy to me, right? They're saved from Egypt's slavery. Like, Pharaoh is not around anymore. Like, Moses took them through the Red Sea. God opened it for them. God delivered them. God provided manna from heaven. God did all of these amazing things for his people. And they get in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And what do they say? I want to read this to you, Numbers 11, verse 4. Now, the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. We remember the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. There is nothing but this manna to look at. And Yeshua came and he told us, he said, he told the people one day when the crowd was great, he said, I tell you about the manna in heaven. Your fathers ate the manna that fell from heaven and they died in the wilderness. But whoever eats of me will live forever. You see, he's saying, I am the manna. So Yeshua, the manna in the wilderness was a picture of Yeshua, okay? And so now these people are like today, we say the same thing. We have nothing but this manna. Yeshua has not been enough for us. He being the manna has not been enough to satisfy. Now we're saying, oh God, we want to go back to the things of the world that has satisfied us. The melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic and cucumbers. And notice how all of these things are innocent foods that are clean and healthy and good. Nothing wrong with them, right? But there was something wrong with them asking for these things. Because they weren't satisfied with what God gave them. And so they desired rather to go back to these innocent looking things of the world. And while getting rid of this simplicity of the manna that was falling from heaven that was still good, still enough. But their flesh was guarding them back to the bondage in Egypt. Because see, to get those melons and leeks and all those things, they needed to go and sign back up at Pharaoh to become slaves. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, have you been tempted to go sign back up to become enslaved yet again unto the world, to get in exchange the things of the world, or have you had your eyes fixed on the manna from heaven? Your eyes fixed on the cloud that is by day and the fire by night. Where has your focus been? That is my question to you in this season. Because ultimately, brothers and sisters, if you think about all of this and you think about what was it that Israel was giving up? Why did that? What was the choice? Why were they considering to go back to all of these things of Egypt? You see, they were looking to that instead of the thing that God called them to in the first place. Which was, remember, God told Moses, take Israel, bring them into the wilderness to celebrate a feast unto me. What does that mean? Yes, we have the biblical feasts, but in its simple form, it simply means bring my people to me so I can spend time with them. So I can be in their presence at this feast. So I can be with my people how I have longed to be with them. But see, God, if you're enslaved in Egypt, it's really hard to be at the feast of the Lord. And so God is saying, I desire you to be free from the world's distractions, even the things that seem innocent, that have been taking way too much of your time and energy and stealing your sleep. And that has been those things that have been taking your prayer. Ultimately, brothers and sisters, it was the miracles of God that shook Israel awake out of their slumber of enslavement in Egypt. That was what that brought them out. And so I want to submit to you that what you need in your life, just like Israel, is you need the miracles, the wonders, the power of God in your life, the Spirit of God. And I have good news for you, such good news, that Yeshua ascended, Jesus Christ ascended, and he said, it is good so that my Holy Spirit can descend upon you. So if you're at the sound of my voice right now, I'm asking, Lord, right now, where everyone is who's listening to this right now, in that room, in that place, no matter where they are, Holy Spirit, come into that place now. Let your power, your presence overwhelm them now. And right now we speak healing. There's people who have sickness, who need healing. Right now we speak healing in their bodies. All infirmity, I command you to go in the name of Yeshua. God, I thank you for your freedom, your healing now. Father, I thank you. I speak to trauma and depression and anxiety and fear now in your people. And I command anxiety, fear, depression, go in the name of Yeshua. Pornography, go in the name of Yeshua. Lord, saying, that's a thing. Go in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us clean hands, a pure heart, making us new. Father, Lord, I thank you. You know, brothers and sisters, on pornography, the reason you're there is because of a lack of intimacy. It's all tied together. Don't let the enemy steal God's prayer time from you by putting guilt and shame because of some sin on you. The first thing God did was walk through the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. And he's walking through the garden calling your name, saying, here I am. I have not forsaken you. Father, I pray right now, Lord, for the people listening to this to receive a baptism of fire, of your Holy Spirit and fire. Yeshua, this is what you came to do. And so right now, I go and I lay hands over all people listening to this through the Spirit. And right now, Father, I thank you for immersing them in your Spirit and power and spiritual giftings and freedom right now. Lord, I thank you, God, for opening up their eyes and ears to your voice of discernment over what's going on in their lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, for making us new in this time and season to seek you in a deeper place than ever before. I pray all of this in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. So, brothers and sisters, please share this video on your social media profiles, your feeds right now. Share it with your friends so that they can hear what the enemy is up to, but what God is doing and the freedom he has promised and is giving us in this time. I am on fire for this thing. It is time for a new season in God's people. This is what God has been putting in my heart. He has spoken to me that there is a new season coming, that he needs us to rise up because the enemy is bringing something, but God is bringing something greater. But you need to be a part of this thing. I don't want you to just be an observer. I need you to be a partaker as the Lord desires it. Become a partaker and help me by spreading this message. Share this far and wide so that the world can hear the good news of what God is doing. So I pray this all in the name of Yeshua. Thank you. Many blessings to you guys. And I'll see you guys next Thursday, if as the Lord allows, at the same time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, because we're doing this live show every Thursday at 7 now. I'll see you guys in the next one. Many blessings and shalom.
This was a teaching by Rise on Fire Ministries. If this teaching has blessed you, Consider supporting the ministry by partnering with us to reach the nations with the gospel. You can partner by visiting riseonfire.com. Blessings and shalom.